Our Bible reading today comes from John, chapter 12, reading from verse 1. Jesus anointed at Bethany. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold, and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Thanks be to God for the reading from his holy word.
Shall we pray? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I sat down to watch television one evening, and we'd been following a series, just an American detective type series, for a number of weeks, being able to stream them all. And we sat down at the end of one series, and we always wondered with this series who's going to be written out or who's going to change the people for the next series. And we don't worry about looking up online, because the series is probably 10 years old, if not a lot more, and so we just wait and see. So at the start of series 7, episode 1, two of the stars are in a car chase through the streets of Los Angeles, I think it was. And they chase the car and they pull up and crash into another car as they're stopping the baddie getting away. And just at that point, the two stars, one a lady, one a man, the woman looks to her right and sees an oncoming articulated lorry. It is going to plough right into them. And both my wife and I looked at each other with the same thought, which one of them is going to die? Right at the start of the episode. And then a thing came up 3 days before, and we had to retrace the steps to get there. It's brilliant storytelling. And if you're interested, although we were assuming watching the whole episode that one of the two of the five stars, or six stars, I can't remember, one of them was going to die and leave the series. All that happened at the end was she said, "Look out, that lorry," and she screamed, and the driver put it into reverse and missed it by a few seconds, and they were all saved. It was storytelling to grip and to hold. And I sometimes think when I'm reading John's Gospel that John is brilliant at that. He can paint pictures that really hold us, that make us think, that challenge us. But one has to, when reading the Gospel of John, one has to realize that this is not a story. It's not a history. This is what happened to Jesus from day one to the crucifixion and the resurrection. John has carefully crafted this sermon. And I'll give you an example based on that reading today of the anointing. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. I'll say more about that in a second. There they gave him dinner. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. So far, so good. But if you go back a chapter, this is what it says at chapter 11. This is happening before what we have just read. A man named Lazarus, who lived in Bethany, was ill. Bethany was the town where Mary and her sister Martha lived. And then in brackets it says, this Mary was the one who poured the perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. Don't know if you've ever noticed that before, but we're getting a preview of what was going to happen according to the timeline, if we followed the timeline perfectly. It's about telling a story. And what story are we being told here? The first of all, the atmosphere is built, and John often builds up with light or dark or events that just grip the imagination, grip the audience to get to a point. And we're told 6 days before the Passover. We all know, and the congregation hearing this for the first time would have known what happened in the Passover. That Jesus was betrayed in a garden and tried, executed on a cross, only to rise again. But 6 days before, so we're building up towards the cross. And here he was at the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. We're told that, in case we'd forgotten, it was only the chapter before as I read. But Lazarus is seen to be up and about, holding parties in his own house, helped by his sister Martha. And also Mary was there. Do you know, in Matthew's Gospel, we have this same story, and Mark's Gospel too, in a different format. We have not Lazarus being the host, but Simon, a man with a skin disease. We have an unnamed person, a lady comes in and washes not his feet, but his hair with expensive perfume. We have the same reaction of Jesus, almost, about why get on to the person for doing this act. You will always have the poor, but you'll not always have me. Or words like that. And John is using this story. Again, it's to build up. It's to continue the story, as it were. He's heard possibly the story of somebody washing Jesus' feet or anointing Jesus' feet with special oil, which is what you did for especially those at death. You anointed them. And here he's preparing you and me, he's preparing his congregation, his audience, he's preparing those who would hear his story. And he tells that lovely, lovely story. Martha, you know the story in Luke's Gospel, where Martha is mourning that she's doing all the work and Mary is just sitting at his feet listening to his stories and his teaching. Mary's soaking the whole presence of Jesus in. Martha too busy. And here it would seem at this house of their brother Lazarus that Martha is still busy. But Mary does something especially precious. She takes a jar. The one of the versions that I'm looking at says a pound. Not, I guess that's in weight. I can only guess. In another version it says that he took a half a litre of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. So we can guess it was quality stuff. Now, I don't know one perfume from the next, but if you want to think of the most expensive perfumes that there are, Chanel perhaps, I don't even know. It's just a name I'm pulling from the back of my head. She poured it on Jesus' feet. What a waste. But more than that, she then cleaned it off with her hair. Is there not something so intimate about this act? Almost erotic, as it were. This act of accepting who Jesus was, how special Jesus was to her. That this costly perfume. It says something later on, it could have been sold for 300 denarii, or a huge amount of money. poured out and she knew something was happening. She'd been listening to Jesus. She maybe understood more than those gathered round. She wanted to give Jesus an anointing. And not just pouring oil with a towel. You know, Jesus, a few days later, would take off his cloak and he would wash his disciples' feet, and we recognize that as the servant king. Here was Mary anointing her Savior. And there's a lovely description. It says, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And I like that. The fragrance of the perfume filled the house. And people must have thought, oof. But what's John saying? He's telling a story here. He's not recounting a fact. He's telling a story. What does this mean? The fragrance filled the house. Jesus' presence fills us. But always, 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 there's somebody that wants to get into the act. And John wants to, you know, put the knife in here to Judas. Judas, who we know betrayed Jesus. Judas, who was the purse carrier. Judas is the one to complain about this extravagant waste of money. The other accounts where this happens to Jesus in the home of Simon, there's no mention of Judas. This is because John, after the fact, is wanting to continue to paint Judas in a bad light, as it were. And he makes a point about those who would be supposedly supportive, trying to benefit themselves. And Jesus' response to this criticism: leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial anointing. You will always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. It's such a special, loving act. And yet Jesus says something, and he said the same in Mark's and in Matthew and Mark's account of the anointing. In fact, in his case, in their case, it was his hair. But he made this special act that people who do these things for Christ will be blessed. And he was saying that I'm not going to be here only 6 days before the Passover. Remember how it started? Jesus. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany. You and I know 6 days. Well, he was going to fill a lot into these last 6 days. You will always have the poor with you, but you'll not always have me. So soak it in. Be like that fragrance that filled the room and filled it with joy. I was visiting somebody a couple of weeks ago, and we went into a small office, and there was a wee air purifier type thing there. And it was, and actually, to be frank, it was a lovely smell. I was wondering whether I should get one for my own study, but sometimes I get these that make my eyes run. But that one was lovely. Jesus will fill the world with his scent of love and make people feel good as a result. We are building up towards Easter. And John, the master storyteller, is building us up. 6 days to go to the Passover. Jesus is being prepared for his death. And Mary, in her love for her Savior, for her Lord, wants to show that love. And people have always been trying to challenge those that just want to show kindness and love. We want to try and rationalize it. We could have made more money selling it. We could have given the money to the poor. We could. But we also have to give money to the church. We have to give money for the glory of God. It's a difficult one, but it's a lovely story. And one that really touches me. I just have this vision of Mary in her love. You know, earlier on, the squabbling sisters fighting, and Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. I have this vision of her sitting at his feet and then just going over and bringing this jar and pouring it onto his feet. And maybe you're recognizing she didn't have a cloth to clean his feet. So she got her hair and she washed his feet. Special. What she did for her Saviour. And I wonder what we too can do for ours. Amen. And thanks be to God for his word.